Right, Amanda, what are we doing today?
We're doing Reading in Bed, episode 58.
Yeah, apologies everybody, a bit late on this today because we're about a week behind because young lady in the other room today, Amanda, has been ill. Don't you, Amanda, love so?
Yeah, I might start feeling like James Brown at random intervals.
Well, I was telling people last week, people are wondering, of course, Andy as well, that Amanda last week, unfortunately, sounded like Barry White gone wrong.
No, I'm definitely not going to be doing that.
Oh, no, you could say a woman jumping all around the room like was it Funky Drummer song as well? So no, you definitely weren't doing that one last week. Anyway, that's for sure with it. So, but anyway, so obviously, like people wondering, like I said, well, man, you've been ill for about a week, haven't you? It was a bit more, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, of course. About a week and a half.
Yeah, but we're back to normal now. So you're going to find, obviously, this month, we've got to sort out story time for this month as well. So we've got two guests on book for that, and we've got to try and pencil them in. So it's going to be a bit of a mad rush this month. So bear with us, guys. Now, what are we doing with Reading in Bed, Amanda?
We're going to review books.
Yeah, now we're doing it again. If people saw it last month, it'd be two episodes again. So this episode 58A is going to be two books, and episode B, 58B, is going to be three books, isn't it, Amanda?
Yeah.
So, but we've got news, haven't we?
Yeah.
Do you want to give people the news?
We're going to be doing a paranormal podcast in the new year, and it's called Cloaked in the Shadows with Andy N and Amanda Nicholson.
Yeah, now, this, if people are wondering, obviously, what does this mean for Reading in Bed? And we better tell them, Amanda, as well, hadn't we?
It means we're going to be taking a break.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that people are wondering, obviously, if people listen to this podcast regularly, it doesn't mean it's the end of Reading in Bed, Amanda, does it?
No. It's just going to sleep.
Yeah, it's taking a rest now. I think it's probably going to go down the spell of, if people are wondering, remember, I used to co-run an open poetry and music open mic night with a wonderful Jeff Arama called Guitar and Verse. That went into specials, and it's still going on, occasional specials. This is what I think we're going to do, Reading in Bed, Amanda, next year, aren't we, really? So,
yeah.
And what we'll put, like I said, it's going to be like probably a couple of times a year. Like, we'll probably try to do a summer night, summer annual special. We'll do a few books at once. And then basically try to do a Christmas special and maybe something else in between. So should I read out to people our podcast blurb for our new podcast, Amanda?
Yeah.
Yeah. From the lines behind podcasts such as Spoken Label and Reading in Bed, Cloaked in the Shadows with Andy N and Amanda Nicholson, is a new podcast series launching in January 2023. Anything goes. The unexplained, the unusual, the extraordinary. Oh, I like that word. And the downright weird. Host by Andy N and Amanda Nicholson. With a vast experience of podcast hosting and interviewing between them, this new series will look at all topics from far-flung places to topics closer to home. Those almost too weird to consider the truth. Sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. Cloaked in the Shadows will launch in January of 2023 as a monthly show and will be available everywhere you find your podcasts and is currently looking for guests. Now, if people wonder about that, we're still sorting out the plans on that. We've got a couple of people we want to speak to for the first part of next year, certainly. And we might actually do it as a fortnightly episode and record two at once, where, haven't we, Amanda? So tell people what you were thinking about.
Like discussing recent news in the world of strange and unusual.
And then all been well, we're also considering doing like a second episode as well, like we'll be able to get a guest on as well. Now we do, like I said before, we do have a few people in mind we want to speak to, some of which have been on Spoken Label. I know that crossover is of genre we're doing. Watch your space. It's going to be a wild ride. That's for sure, Amanda, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, of course, anyway, we better be ones reading in bed, hadn't we, Amanda? Now, well, part A is we're doing something now we've never done before, have we?
No, it's a James Patterson special.
What do we mean by James Patterson special, Amanda?
Because we both ended up reading a book by James Patterson, but not the same one.
Yeah, it's somewhat. It came up, and it's a bit of an odd one, because people obviously listen to the archive. We know we did a review which we both enjoyed only a couple of months ago of his book with Dolly Parton, didn't we?
Yeah.
And what happened then, Amanda, that was I really enjoyed it. I know you did. And tell us, people, obviously, before we go into the books, you had a book dangling around your bookcase for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, I bought it in August 2018, it turns out.
I didn't know that. So, okay, that'd be the case then. What made you want to revisit this book so long in the future?
So I just decided to try and get rid of some of the many books that I've got in the bookcase and in boxes and scattered everywhere. They just keep popping up all over the place. So I just randomly picked one from the bookcase, which just happened to be this book.
And did you remember it when you got it?
I wasn't sure how I'd got it, but I went to it on Amazon and it tells you if you've bought it, it tells you when you bought it. So that's how I...
Right. So yeah, the one I got, mine came out last year, but I got it as a good on a good review. Right. So that's why I thought in my case, Amanda, as soon as I saw it, I knew you'd done your book. I thought, oh, why don't we do a special on it and do two in one episode?
Yeah.
So anyway, what we're going to do, guys, sorry, but I've been sneezing him in the background here. What we're going to do is Amanda's going to do her book first. And in part B of this episode, I'll do my book. So Amanda, tell people about your book first.
Okay, so mine's called The Crazy House, and it's book one. There's actually a second book out there. It is by James Patterson, obviously. And I hopefully I'll pronounce this right, Gabrielle Charbonnet.
All right. Tell us a blurb then. Sorry, tell us a blurb, please, Amanda. Sorry, my fault.
Okay, so this is the blurb. Becca Greenfield, 17, disappeared one morning on her way to school. Everyone from her town, including her twin sister, is desperately searching for Becca. They won't find her. Becca is being held prisoner in the crazy house. She's on death row, but is completely innocent. No one has ever gotten out of the crazy house alive, but it's always a first time.
And I can see what drew you to this book straight away. Now, I'm going to ask you straight away to begin with, before we go on to the strengths and weaknesses. Was this a very tonally very different book from the previous James Patterson book you've read with me?
Yeah, in some ways it's a bit like teen fiction, but because you've got James Patterson involved with it, it kind of appeals more to people than just like the teen fiction crowd.
Ah, right. So did you know of the writer who co-wrote the book with?
I've not heard of her before, but from what I can understand, I think she does write a lot of teen fiction.
Ah, right. So it's going to be like... Obviously, like then, it's going to be like a very different sort of James Patterson book to Run, Rose, Run, basically, wasn't it? And so that's interesting. Tell us about the book then, anyway. So what did you like about the book?
Yeah, it was interesting because there's like two main points of view, which is the two sisters, Cassie and Becca, and they're like the occasional other point of view further on in the book, but they're the ones who have like most say in the book. So their story is told sort of alternatively. Like one might get a couple of chapters and the other one gets a couple of chapters. But just the idea as well of this place where they live that's called the cell. And they sort of all of their jobs assigned to them and people have got to get permission if they want to have a baby. Like if somebody dies and somebody else is allowed to have a baby, But if nobody dies, then they can't have a baby because they've got to have like a strict quota of people there.
Oh, so that's quite... It's very like in, what, science fiction. Is that like a cult then, basically, was it? So we have to go into spoilers, of course.
It felt a bit like a cult, but it sort of explains it a little bit as you get to the end of the book and you see sort of why it's like that.
Oh, cool.
And you get a bit of understanding of the world, though. I don't really want to go into it and move the spoiler, but...
Yeah,
fair enough. Sort of futuristic up until that point because it's a strange way of living and it's not how we live.
Yeah. No, of course, I get it completely. Well, that sounds really interesting, actually. It does, certainly. So tell us, it's okay. We're not with too much spoilers then. Tell us about the main character then. Or main character.
So the main character is the 17-year-old twins. And when one of them gets kidnapped and taken to this so called crazy house, which is like a prison. It's pretty explicit, some of the things that happen is she gets beaten up a lot. They have to go in this big and fight each other and bones get broken and it gets quite bloody and people get executed. And there's more about that again at the end that sort of explains that, so I won't spoil that.
No, of course, it's nice that it's... No, I get you completely love it. It's one of those ones where it's like... his sort of books particularly like his. And I learned that after Run Rose Run earlier in the year with you. You've got to be careful what you say because nothing is what it seems to those his books at all, particularly for the book I've reread as well. So they're quite predictable. So tell us about then, obviously, what else did you like about this book then? Because I know with you, you would have probably really enjoyed the good chunks of this book. So what else did you like about it?
Yeah. I like the fact that he does these collaborations because I think even as a writer, he's obviously got a lot of success and he's made a decent living out of being a writer. But everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. And lots of people who listen to this will know I'm a big Stephen King fan, but he's not the best at writing women. So these collaborations that James Patterson does with women and different people just sort of makes the story a bit more well-rounded.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at that, Lord, I have to compare it to the Dolly Parton book first of all, because I remember asking you when we did the episode a couple months ago, how did you feel about writing women in the book? And I thought he had the female leads in that book absolutely spot on. And I know you did
I
the same
like
as well,
Dolly
didn't you?
Parton had a big part in that.
Yeah, now obviously, like I said, if you said already that like, this book is co-authored with what you think is a teen fiction writer of ladies. Now, did you think the women characters were strong in this book?
Yeah, because they get taken and they sort of grow throughout the book and get stronger. And then by the end of the book, I think they've like become physically and mentally stronger in lots of different ways. And even though there's a lot of good male writers out there, I think they would struggle to write like believable, strong female characters in this way.
Yeah.
So you can see the input that the female writers had on this.
Yeah, it's when we go into my book in a bit, I can get you mean because mine, well, obviously mine turned probably more a boys adventure book, really. Obviously, it was bloke gentleman that wrote it. But yeah, I can see we're getting out of this. So. Is there anything else you need to specifically touch on with this book then?
I wasn't sure what to expect when I started reading it because I've not read that much by James Patterson before. Yeah. So I was pleasantly surprised because it was a lot better than I expected. And I'm probably going to get a second book as well in a couple of months and find out what happens after this one finishes.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair play to you. Fair play to you. I get the feeling with him, and he sometimes, tell me if you agree with this, he has a bit of a mythos of been writing in just one genre. Well, the book I'm going to review, well, next, is completely different to what your book was, and also the first book we read as well. So was, obviously, with this book then, Run, Rose, Run was quite, I'm not using the word action-packed because it wasn't. Was yours quite action-packed when the book got going, really, was it?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of stake and you didn't know if the characters were going to survive the end of the book. because it wasn't until I got to the near the end of it that I found out there was a second book, so I didn't know that at the time.
Right. Now, the two books I've read, there was a lot of chapters in it. I think there was over 100 in Run, Rose, Run, definitely. And I think there was 136 in my book, yeah.
I think there was about 113 in mine, because some of them were like just one or two pages.
I think a lot of them sounded like that then probably were. Now, as a novelist yourself, I'm asking you a writing question here now. How do you think the idea of doing short chapters, like he's obviously very good at doing short chapters in books, because you get some writer who do 40, 50, maybe I've seen good books do 100-page chapters. How do you feel about the fact where he does his short shappy, so I said shappy then, short snappy chapters?
I think it works for him. It's his style, I suppose. It's like my style when I used to write novels was probably between like 1,800 and 2,500 words per chapter. And that just worked for me, so.
Yeah, and of course, getting complete with it. So do you think in his case, it actually speeded up the actual pacing of the book with doing such short chapters?
Yeah, it felt like it a little bit. And then you might read like really short chapters from one of the twins, and then it'd end on a cliffhanger, and then it'd go to a couple more chapters from the other twin then.
Right, yeah. Now, obviously, with it having really two direct main characters, twins, did you feel they were quite distinctive, different characters?
Yeah. I know there's something that some people who reviewed it didn't like, because they had nicknames, like Cassie is called Careful Cassie. And people called Rebecca or Becca, Ridiculous Becca.
Hmm.
And people complaining about that and saying, oh, it's stupid names. But it did sort of set them apart. And you can see that's sort of their main personality. But then they change throughout the book as different things happen.
Yeah, of course. Now, I've got to ask you as well, though, because obviously I do remember Run, Rose, Run was my book as well. There was quite a big backing cast in it. Did the backing cast stand out, did they, a bit to you as well?
Yeah, there were people who were sort of running the prison, and then there were other people in the prison, and people in this cell, which is sort of like a town, what they call the little towns, and sort of their characters and the way they fought. And just, yeah, there was quite a lot of people, but it was easy to follow, I think.
No, that's good.
They didn't overstay the welcome. You just saw little bits of them.
No, cool. Now, is there anything else we need to specifically touch on this book before we go to the faults or the weaknesses?
No, I think that's it, really.
So was there any weaknesses for you in this book?
Not so much. I'm not really into teen fiction a lot, but I did enjoy this book, so they must have done something right.
Yeah, no, of course, get yourself. Okay, then, we better ask the marking then, hadn't we?
Yeah, I'm going to give it 9 out of 10.
Ooh. What's cost it the one mark then? Because I know we give Run, Rose, Run 10 out of 10 each, didn't we? I was hoping we did anyway.
Yeah, I just think a little bit, so just little bits throughout the book was just a bit, like, I wouldn't have done that, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, still
obviously, I'm not nearly a so successful writer, so
fair enough.
who am I to say I shouldn't do that?
True. Now, that's fine. Well, 9 out of 10 from Amanda's side. Like I said, we've already hinted what part two is going to be now in this podcast, haven't we, Amanda? So I'm doing a Jade Passing book next. So hang around. Let's see if I go for 9 out of 10 or more. Who knows? Right, Amanda, you want to say bye?
Bye.
See you in
a reading and bed. Reading and bed.
Welcome back to Reading in Bed, episode 58, with Andy N and Amanda Nicholson.
Okay, Amanda, would you like me to? What do you want to start with?
I'd love to know who this book's by, because I can't possibly imagine.
Well, it's by James Patterson and Bill Clinton, and it's called The President's Daughter. Now, I'm guessing this isn't fact, right? I'm hoping it's a fiction.
It might be autofiction.
I hope not. I hope not. Right, it's interesting. There's actually a quote that comes with the book, actually, by Lee Childs. Obviously, if people wonder, that's Jack Reacher's author.
Yeah.
So should I read that out first and then go to the blurb?
Yeah.
A former president's daughter is kidnapped in this masterful rocket ride of a thriller, the new blockbuster by President Bill Clinton and James Patterson, The Dream Team, Lee Childs. Right, should I go to the blurb then?
Yeah.
And it says, okay. Every detail is accurate because one of the authors is President Bill Clinton. The drama and the action never stop because the other author is James Patterson. Matthew Keating, a one-time Navy SEAL and past president, has always defended his family as staunchly as his country. Now those defences are under attack. A madman abducts Keating's teenage daughter, Menelie, turning every parent's deepest fear into a matter of national security. As the world watches in real time, Keating embarks on a one-man special ops mission that tests his strength as a leader, a warrior, and a father. The author's first collaboration, The President Is Missing, a number one New York Times bestseller and the best-selling novel of 2018, was praised as ambitious and wild and readable, and a fabulous, entertaining thriller, Ron Chilman. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I need to say, if we ask me questions, I've not read The President Is Missing, but I do know it's about a completely different cast.
Okay. So do you think this collaboration works well? And could it have been done if it was just James Patterson, or does Bill Clinton add something to it?
Well, that's a very good question, actually. Because certainly, I'm going to have to go into spoilers in this fairly quickly, because it's a book of two halves, really. Because the first part of the book is very, very set in like a sort of West Wing sort of environment, where it's like, all like stuff going on in the way of the White House itself. And when you read that bit, you can see that Bill Clinton's had a massive hand in that. The second part of the book, I think, was probably more James Patterson, but I'll come on to that in a moment.
Okay.
Was there any more questions?
So do you want to start with the good points of the book then?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to be blunt there with this one, okay? It wasn't the most subtle of the books I've ever read, that's for sure. And it was also a book that, do you ever do this, Amanda, when you get a book, sometimes you just don't read the blurb, do you, and just go straight into it?
Yeah.
I did that in this book, and I kind of got caught out somewhat, shall we say.
Yeah, from what you've told me, it sounds like it's a cross between Taken and those Nowhere Man books that you like to read.
Well, it felt like Bill Clinton doing Rambo in the second half of the book. Like I said, it was completely unsubtle, okay? The first half was definitely West Wing's like pastiche, and it was really good. It was a good book. It just when it got to the second half of the book, and I'm going to have to give spoilers away, because, like I said before, his daughter gets kidnapped. And it looks like in the first half of the book, the whatever is going to rescue her, and it didn't happen. So he ends up taking the law into his own hands with a select band, I guess, of soldiers and some of the ex-people and stuff going around looking for her. And they end up going into Libya to rescue his daughter. It was just a sizzle of a ton of bricks at that point.
But
it's good. It's good because it was like, that's unfortunate with your book and Run, Rose, Run. The pacing was really good in it, and it was really, really quickly paced, because there's 136 chapters in it, and each chapter's were a couple of pages each, about top. So
I'm guessing there's a lot of testosterone in this book.
Friggin' loads.
a lot of medley men.
Oh, tons. I've got to say, mind, however, man, I have to say, to be honest, because there's bits of chapters in it where you see there's a lot of viewpoints in this book. It is obviously mostly Matthew Keating, the president. There is a female, I can't remember the name of the characters. His daughter gets her own bit in the sunshine, and his wife does as well. And also the president that took over him, who betrayed him in the book, she's female as well. And I felt you could see, like, you know what I mean? Like, when I read Run, Rose, Run, that was primarily female characters. And Dolly Parton clearly had a hand in that. This, the women characters, I thought was deadly wrote. They were supporting characters. You know what I mean? But he obviously knew what he's doing. Although saying that, actually, I don't think the president, female, the president's wife, I don't think that's based on Hillary Clinton, his wife, somehow. No, I don't. So,
no.
Or his daughter, Chelsea, but I don't think it was her either. But no, it was just, it was great fun, but it was a bit of a guilty pleasure, really, so.
Okay, so is there any more good points before you move on to any bad points?
I've not really got any bad points about it, to be honest with you. So I'll just carry on, because like I said to you before, the books, if you're looking for a realistic thriller, not this book. It certainly wasn't, but yeah. It was great fun. Even it was the more, it's one of those sort of books, the further you went into it, the more completely over the top it got. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But the pacing was good. It was one of those ones where it was an easy book to read, and it was great fun. I've put down here on my notes in this, I said 40, the first half of the book was perhaps like James Patterson, Bill Clinton writing an episode of The West Wing. Well, the second half felt like Rambo 3. Rambo 3 was where he went down to take it out and tackling the whole Vietnamese army, trying to rescue his mentor. And that's what this felt like, they were taking on the whole country, but the second half of the book.
Okay, so it was entertaining then.
Oh, yeah, it was great fun, because it was like, what was really good about the book was, and I want to know is about your book, because there was a heck of an amount of viewpoints in this book. There was a lot of people who started getting a chapter or two, and so many people who were dying as well. There were one of those sort of books where people would get killed in the book, where you thought they might have lasted longer. And there was a twist at the end of the book, and this, I'm not going to say who, but one of the major, well, the secondary major characters got killed on the last chapter. Well, for the epilogue, so it was a surprising book. He did things in it that surprised me. But what they did was, like, it was, even if they did a viewpoint of someone with character for two chapters, then it came like a red coat, you know, like we call the Star Trek, where someone gets killed off. It was quite surprising, and I liked the unpredictability of the book, really. So,
okay. So do you want to give it a mark out of 10?
What do you think I'm going to give it?
At least an 8, probably more.
It's an 8. I have to be honest, I didn't enjoy it as much as Run, Rose, Run. But it was great fun. It was definitely a guilty pleasure, okay. But it was great fun. Right, Amanda, that's it for part one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. We shall see you all, guys, in probably about a week's time, because we're running a bit late, aren't we? So, say bye, Amanda.
Bye.
See you all soon. Read in a bed. Read in a bed.